Radnor City Commission meeting, April 11, 2019.
Call to order. Can we all rise for the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Here.
Commissioner Langria?
Here.
Mayor Holtzman?
Here. Pursuant to the Open Public Meeting Act, adequate notice of this meeting has been provided in accordance with the law. First part of our meeting for the public is our workshop. And before we do that, tonight we do have our capital discussion with the department head. Then after we go through our workshop, then we go through our regular meeting where we go from the items that we discussed in the workshop. The first thing we're going to have is a presentation to the Lewis Bay Second Municipal Future Municipal Leader Scholarship Award. The young lady's not here yet, so we'll do that when she gets here. And next we will go into our capital discussion, and I think it would be Ed, correct?
Sure. Yes, ma'am. I handed out the capital update today for commissioners review. Start with reconstruction of Burke Avenue. That was a project from Fredericksburg to Swarthmore that is substantially complete. There are still some punch list items that need to be resolved on that project. But
Hold on one second. If anyone can't hear, we purchased devices that you can have to be able to hear better. Linda? Commissioner Langer, anyone else? We have another one. Do we have two there?
I don't know.
I think we have one.
Don't know.
I think we only had one. I thought we had more. Can you hear? Ed, can you put the mic a little closer to you?
Can everybody hear me? If you want, I can turn around and speak to all of
you. Can you hear?
That microphone's on. It doesn't seem like it's on. Is the light on?
The light is not on.
No, when you press the button, the light goes on.
Yeah. Okay.
There it is.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Now?
Yeah.
No. For the record, I just helped the city engineer on the
Thank you.
We'll be our new IT director, our assistant.
Okay, capital update, April 11, 2019. Reconstruction of Burke Avenue from Fredericksburg to Swarthmore Avenue. That is substantially complete, pending some punch list items. Second item is Atlantic Avenue Streetscape Project. We all see that construction is ongoing. Right now, we've completed most of the light bases and are working on the underground electric. Once that is complete, then we will start forming curbs. And then once the curbs are done, we'll femo and replace sidewalk. Third project is the accessible ramp and gutter replacement project in Ventnor Heights. This is a project that comes about in advance of the South Jersey Gas Company repaving of the streets in the 700 and 800 block between Dorset Avenue and Harvard Avenue. So we are replacing the corner accessible ramps and we're replacing gutters that have settled over time. So that when the gas company does their overlay paving, then we'll hopefully have, you know, a street that will last 7 years without puddles. That project is ongoing. We anticipate 4 weeks to completion. Once that project is complete, then we expect South Jersey Gas subcontractor to come in and overlay the streets. Hopefully all work will be completed by mid-June. The bike lanes on Atlantic Avenue, this is a municipal aid or NJDOT grant funded project. We received DOT approval to go out to bid. We expect to have bids in by the end of this month, and we would look for award of contract at the first meeting in May. That also has a completion date by mid-June is anticipated. The reconstruction of Kingsley Drive, that is under design, but we are going to hold off on that project until the sanitary sewer main project is completed. So we anticipate for the reconstruction of Kingsley Drive that will go out to bid in the fall with an anticipated construction schedule of early spring 2020. The sanitary sewer replacement project on Kingsley Drive, along with the Wellington Avenue and Lafayette Avenue drainage project, is in engineering design, almost complete. We expect that we will be out to bids by early May, but we are going to hold off construction until after Labor Day. So that project, which is the Kingsley Drive sanitary sewer main and the drainage main along Wellington Avenue at Lafayette and extending down towards the driving range parking lot, that'll take place after Labor Day.
Just as an aside, we did talk about that, and I spoke about the timing of that project. We didn't really want to have Kingsley Drive dug up for basically the entire summer. So the plan was to start that major construction in the fall and then finish the roadway construction once the utilities are done in the spring. And that was the plan. And I did have a chance to speak to a couple of residents there, and they agreed with that. So that's a good thing.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
The Winchester Avenue drainage project, that's at Washington Avenue and New Haven Avenue. That is under engineering design currently. We anticipate an early May bid date. That also we will hold off construction until after Labor Day. The drainage improvements at Marshall Avenue and Oxford Avenue, that is under engineering design as well. We anticipate a bid date by June 1st. The city solicitor and I will be meeting with representatives from the Waterview apartment complex to work out some access agreements. The library window replacement is under engineering and architectural design as well. We anticipate a bid date by early June. The cap or permit modification for the fishing pier restrooms and office. We've submitted that to the DEP, and found out that it is no longer a cap or permit modification because the Permit Extension Act was not signed, so the permit has expired. So that puts us into a whole new application. And that will delay the construction of the pier restrooms and the new office building. We have asked for a meeting with the DEP to kind of appeal the whole expiration of that cap for permit. I don't feel very optimistic in that. If the Permit Extension Act was not extended, that permit expired. But at least if we meet with them, we hopefully can meet with them here, we can see the situation, and hopefully we can expedite them an application for a new CAFRA permit.
Yeah, I don't believe the DEP understands the situation as it exists now. The person I spoke with up there had not a clue that this restroom has been on that pier for 50 plus years. Not the specific one, but there has been a restroom on that pier. So we're dealing with newer people there, so I think we're going to have to hold their hand a little bit and get this through. It's disappointing that we're not going to get to build it this summer, for this summer, but we'll get to it and we'll do it. I hope if I correct, we'll get it done.
Playground repairs. This one's going to be a little bit involved. It is under engineering design, Mark DeBlasio and Associates is the engineer doing the work. Seashore Playground, that has been closed. The ground surface took a beating over the winter time, and it is unsafe, so I closed that. We had a meeting. The plan is to make the necessary repairs to all four of our playgrounds so that they will be open this summer. Understanding that bidding is, you know, that extends, adds 2 months to any project. So what we are looking to do is work under state contract with any of the co-ops that currently we participate with. And so we met today with a vendor who is part of a co-op that we participate with to look at Seashore Park and replacing the ground surface, doing some upgrades to that ground surface and installing a drainage system so that we don't have this type of a situation in the future. It looks like that is doable under this co-op, and we will hopefully have prices next week and we can look to head in that direction. If that does work out, then we are optimistic that we can have that completed prior to June 15th. And that's going to be the biggest project, so I don't have a number on that yet, cost-wise, but that will be the most expensive repair. There are repairs that have to be done to the play equipment at that park, which has to be done through a different vendor, and I'm working on having that quote to get that awarded to hopefully coincide with the ground cover replacement. But the goal right now is still that park could be open for use again by June 15th. The Titus Field Playground, the Fireman's Playground, and the Library Playground, all the work that needs to be done there should be able to be done under state contract or co-op. So we are working with a vendor to put together a design. Most of that equipment has to be replaced. Wow. I'll say it again, most of that equipment has to be replaced. The newest piece of equipment is in the range of 6 years old. Their welds are rusted. The repair of that existing equipment would exceed the replacement cost under state contract for a new piece. So that's the direction we're heading. I'm getting prices. And as soon as I have them, I'll report to Mayor and Commissioners. Again, the goal is to have that work completed as well under state contract or the co-op by mid-June. For this summer.
Including the install and removal?
That is correct. The removal and the installation. And in all cases, Seashore is different because it has that poured surface, but the other three playgrounds currently have, the majority of them are sand surfaces. The library has a small area that is engineered playground mulch. All the playgrounds when we're done will have engineered playground mulch. Seashore will have the rubber on the surface. Reconstruction of Newport, next project. Reconstruction of Newport Avenue from Monmouth Avenue to the Bay. That's municipal, that's an NJDOT municipal aid grant from 2017. The engineering design was awarded at the last meeting. We expect to submit design plans to the DOT early this coming week and out to bid the following week. We have to, as a condition of that grant, have a construction contract awarded by May 17th of 2018. We're on pace for that right now. We'll keep our fingers crossed and hopefully that will take place. Construction will not begin until after Labor Day. We are still working on the NJEIT applications. That would be for our sanitary sewer main replacements, our water main replacements, and the jet vac equipment that has been authorized in your bonds that I have not had time to get to, but I plan to get to that hopefully by this fall. The good news we received last week is the DOT municipal aid application for fiscal year 2018. That is Dorset Avenue from Wellington to Burke Avenue. That has been awarded. DOT has awarded a grant of $310,000 to Ventnor for that reconstruction. We will look to go out to engineering design in the summertime so that we can have a bid for this fall and look to construct in the spring of 2020. On the recreation side, the pickleball court conversion at the Suffolk Avenue tennis courts, work has begun, and we expect that that will be complete in the next 2 weeks, or certainly by the end of this month. When the project is complete, we will have a total of 6 pickleball courts at that location. And lifeguard headquarters, the last project, lifeguard headquarters, on your agenda tonight is the award for professional services for architectural and structural engineering design for a new lifeguard headquarters building. That existing building is in a condition that needs to be replaced. And that's all I have.
The indoor showers aren't working real well.
That's one.
That's all you have.
I mean, when it rains, it's an indoor shower. Yeah. The building is an indoor shower.
Nothing else? Frank, you didn't give an estimated time of completion for the streets game. Did they give you any?
We're shooting mid-June, right?
This contract requires Memorial Day completion. We had internally discussed June 15th drop date. So they're still on schedule for that. That would be a substantial completion, so that would be curb, the boardwalk planting, the sidewalk, probably the lights, possibly the lights. Street furniture may not be completed by then. The landscaping may not be completed by then, but I think our recommendation would be if they need to go through the summer and do work that will not disrupt traffic or will not impede the access to the buildings, maybe we can do those type of things through the summer. Right now we're looking at finishing before the concrete, that kind of work by Memorial Day and June 15th.
And hardscape stuff will be finished by then. The contractor had reached out to us, 2 weeks ago, a week or so ago?
Yes, 2 weeks.
And said, look, we have 2 other crews that are freeing up, and we will focus and try and bring all of our crews here and get this job done faster than we anticipated. And let's get done.
I noticed that they're working on one side rather than 2 blocks at a time.
They've excavated.
So they took one side.
They excavated and they've done the conduit and the foundation for all the lights. They're already done on the bay side.
Right.
So now they're starting on the other side.
Right.
So they're doing that. They have to get that done and the conduit's done. And Ed, correct me if I'm missing something here. They get that done, put the curb in and the gutters, so then they can start doing the stuff behind.
Right.
They won't excavate behind it very far. They'll complete the excavation behind it until the curb is in. Because that way they can go right in and start doing the paving. Concrete work and the pavers that go behind it. Right. So they're moving well. The contractors are really, from what I've seen, I've stopped there 2 or 3 times. I saw you there this morning or yesterday. Seem to be really easy guys to work with so far. So that's great.
Thank you.
Thanks. So roughly, I know some of the stuff you don't have bids in on there for the cost, but roughly how much have we put into these 16 projects in an estimated number?
The engineering design for the projects that I listed on here is over $200,000, in the neighborhood of $220,000, something to that order of magnitude, for engineering design. The construction, I don't have off the top of my head.
Okay, all right, thank you.
I also have a report from Chief Bergman and Captain David Funk on the Beach Patrol Capital. They couldn't make it here tonight, so they gave me a written report. And on their plate is the purchase of 3 Van Dyne surf boots, 2 in the fall and 1 this spring. They are $90,100 each, and for 2, and one of those has a $650 included in that is 12 oars. And then also what will be purchased is a Honda ATV to replace the older model, which had fatal frame damage. That's about $8,900, and that's expected in May of 2019. And we will also be purchasing a Dodge pickup, Quad Cab 1500. This is the chief vehicle during the summer. And it will replace an aging Ford Explorer currently shared with Public Works. And that'll be about $28,000, and it's expected mid-July. And then there will be a garage, a 24-foot by 24-foot garage to house the equipment, which will be located alongside the current police garage behind headquarters and the tennis courts. That delivery is expected in May, and that will cost about $10,600. So that's the capital plan and northern plan, but that's what's happening with the Beach Patrol.
Why, you mentioned three lifeguard boats, but why are we purchasing two in the fall?
Two were, and we're purchasing one more.
One more.
Yeah.
We already did purchase two.
Right.
Okay. The fall coming up, it makes sense. Thank you. Do we have any other capital reports? No?
No.
Okay. So we'll move on.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks, Marie.
Yeah, thank you very much. A lot of projects going on. Okay. We do not have any minutes to review and vote on. And the first resolution that we will have tonight is our resolution 2019-122, and that's the resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, introducing our 2019 municipal budget. We have our auditor here, Leon, and he will present to us our budget.
Yes, so tonight is the introduction of the budget, and the public hearing will be on May 9th. I imagine on May 9th you want me to do a presentation on the screens properly on May 9th to go over the budget in more detail. Tonight is the introduction. It'll be in the newspaper. It'll be online for everybody to look at. And then on May 9th will be the question and answer period on what it's made up of. It is a slight decrease in the tax rate from last year. You are well within all the caps that the state imposed upon you. And it's right on target for what we were planning on the past couple of years. So again, tonight's introduction, at least two of you need to say yes to move it forward. We are self-exam, so we won't go to the state for review. Al will sign to say that everything's okay, and we're all done.
So the city, we have the city budget's a slight decrease.
Slight decrease.
And then because of what the commission asked for with the school a year ago, there's a decrease with their budget, correct?
Yes.
I made this up for you. Yours and the school is in green. They're actual. You have a 3.5 cent decrease, a 0.1 cent decrease, 0.2 cent decrease. The county's in blue, and any day I should have those numbers, and that's expected also to be a decrease. So you should be in the neighborhood of a total with everybody's about 5 cents. That's a decrease.
5 cents?
Yeah.
Decrease.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And like I said, the green ones, they're actually, they're are cast in stone with the school budget and your budget.
Great.
So tonight's simply the introduction, both to introduce it, we move on, and then when we come to May 9th, if anything happens that needs to be added, subtracted from it, we can amend any line item that we're legally allowed to amend. We can't change like debt service and pension, things like that. But if something comes along, we can change it. The $310,000 that Ed mentions in here for that one grant, that was the last minute add-on we put in. So you're all set to go.
Do you want us to vote on the resolution?
No.
Okay, so we're good.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're leaving us now. We'll see you on May 9th, correct?
I go to the city next.
Okay, thank you. Drive safe.
That's where you're helping.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Just to thank you again. I mean, we came into this as somewhat, we know how to do budgets, but not like this. The mayor. Tim and I, not so much. You have guided us so well. It's beyond explanation to go through, and truthfully, in my case, dumb it down a little bit. for the finance end of things. Really helped us right the ship over the last 3 years. So I want to thank you for that. You came up with the idea last year to really take on the capital from the school in an effort to save them and us as taxpayers, a lot of money.
Huge. And you're almost 7 cents right now between the 2 years.
Yeah. So I mean, that is a, you know, I give you a lot of credit for that, and I certainly appreciate that and your help. And as well as staff, but I mean, Leon is really active.
I'm going to second it.
I'll vote yeah. No, the numbers that you put them into common sense terms, and it was I think we talked about it, $840 for a typical home in Ventnor, mm-hmm. just on that one modification alone with the school board over the year,
mm-hmm.
and so we appreciate all the analyzing it from all the different directions that you do.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, so you're all set to go. Yeah. See you in a month.
Yes.
We're sooner.
Christ.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Good night. The next thing on our agenda, we will be introducing three ordinances. The first one is 2019-007, and that is an ordinance in the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, adopting the Ventnor Waterfront Redevelopment Plan. And tonight we have our grant writer, Jim Bertella, here to explain to us and the public what that is all about.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This ordinance creates a redevelopment plan along the Bayfront. Basically allows the city to partner with Bayfront owners to bring their bulkheads into compliance. And it's really a voluntary program, but it does give, by having a redevelopment plan, it gives you some flexibility to do this, which you wouldn't be able to do otherwise. We have surveyed the residents along the Bayfront, and 16 have not notified the city that they were interested in the next few years in raising or placing their bulkheads. Also, Ventnor on the Bay, which is a much larger complex, has voiced an interest. And then your city engineer and I have surveyed these sites as well as the city-owned bulkheads. And there's 7th Street End and then the Winchester Avenue city-owned bulkhead that's in need of replacement. So there's a combination of things. And we sat down a few weeks ago with Maria and Ed and Leon as well, also your bond counselor and your financial advisor, kind of talk about, okay, how can this happen? And it's still, the pieces are still coming together, but basically it would be a special assessment for the homeowners. It would be a 10-year minimum for amortization for the repayment. And the city would be protected. Because you know, as an assessment, you would have recourse if they weren't paying. So it's really a helping hand in many cases. When we surveyed the lots, the properties, what we noticed is everyone's different, as you can well imagine. Mm-hmm. In one case, the house is over the bulkhead. So certainly, if someone had it and they're interested, they need to elevate their home before the bulkhead can be repaired. Another case was a vacant lot. It would be perfect. It could happen tomorrow, and those folks probably want it to happen as soon as possible. In other cases, there were decks or other structures on or near the bulkhead that would have to be taken up and replaced after the work was completed. So each case is different. But what we would suggest after having that inspection is much like what we do now when residents come to the city to elevate their homes. We do an agreement. It really spells out all the conditions and all the assumptions that go into the process. And by having that agreement, and something we could work on in the next few weeks, next few months, and getting that to the property owners, they would know exactly what their obligations are to the city and what their time would be and how this can proceed. And then with that agreement, they can decide whether they want to proceed now or proceed a year from now or 2 years from now. And I think what you would find is that this program would spread out simply because of the needs of the property owners. If the thought would be, it would be a bond, obviously, a city bond, the contractor would be hired by the city, the property owner would be responsible for permitting. And once the work was completed, the property owner would receive a maintenance guarantee, maintenance bond from the contractor. So there's some of the details, I know I didn't get everything, but there's some of the details we talked about. Again, this is very fluid, so you know, there's a lot to think about, and certainly, you know, your comments and direction is important in this case. This is a unique program. This is not something that most communities are doing, but it's something, as you can see from the interest, there's a need.
If I can, Mayor.
Yeah.
Certainly a worthwhile effort. We'd started this thinking that we might be able to partner with, one, the Army Corps, two, ACIA, and that just didn't pan out. So we are looking for a way to do it ourselves, to kind of create a fund that can help these bulkheads get raised to a proper elevation that will help with flooding, erosion on our back bay. So that's the plan. I'm going to throw a curveball at you. We've been dealing with house raising, one specific. Is this something we might be able to do with that? Because it's off topic, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. The REM monies that some of the residents have already been brought into that program, they're reimbursable. So they have to go out and spend the money to raise their homes out of pocket. Banks are not willing to. Jim, we've had, and I'm extremely frustrated. You saw my email. I was not half a camper earlier this week when I got that news. Banks unwilling to help fund these because the homes are big. They're not worth the amount it's costing to live them in some cases. So the homeowners don't have the money to raise their home, yet they're getting flooded every full moon. Basically, that house that we're talking about gets flooded every time we have a nor'easter or a full moon high tide. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to help these people. We may be the last resort in some of these cases. Now, we can't do a lot of them, but maybe, you know, that one specific, is that something we could tie in? It's not on the waterfront, so it wouldn't be in this redevelopment area. I'm just thinking out of the box. Is that something that we could?
Yeah, it's not something we spoke about. So.
It's not. I just literally just came up with the idea now, so just spitballing a little bit. I'm frustrated we can't help these residents. Mm-hmm. And it's not just Ventnor residents. This is across South Jersey.
Mm-hmm. East Coast,
yeah. And look, FEMA got bit. They had a lot of contractors, a lot of people that took them for a ride, took the money, didn't do the work, and that's why they made the reimbursement. You got to show us you did the work, and then you get reimbursed. I get that, but there has to be a better way to do this, because no banks in what wants to do it. We've reached out to two that I know of. We try ACIA, we didn't go that route.
We have talked about them, and it's not something that they see in there.
So we're looking for fun, and again, it's off topic, but it's something that's on.
I mean, we can talk to bond counsel. Our discussions so far have centered around that because this is a redevelopment area.
Right.
There's special laws for that when it comes to financing, which is, he's still doing his research, but because it's a redevelopment area, it's got some things in the law that will allow us to do that for this.
So with that in mind, spot redevelopment areas. You know, we do spot blighted areas. Maybe that's something we can look at. You know, I don't know. Again, I'm throwing ideas out there that I've not seen done before. But that doesn't mean they can't be done. It doesn't mean they can't be done. So let's try and I would like to pursue that a little bit if we can.
You mentioned the city's protected. In what way is it protected, and from how much?
Bray, I'll look to you, because it's more of a financial question.
And actually, Al can help also, because if it's a special assessment tax on the property owner for the improvement being funded on their property, it's just like a regular tax. But it's special because it's to a common group of properties, so they don't pay their taxes. You have the tax lien process, so you're protected.
It's just those properties that are assessed that special
correct, tax. Correct, just those properties.
They would get their own separate bills, just right. like the utility bill or anything like that, but if you only took to them, and it, depending on the length of it, they would pay over 10 years of finance charge attached to it for the interest we would pay for the funding.
Okay, so that makes sense.
If they don't pay within 1 year, then the whole thing becomes due. If they don't pay, you know, and then it's eligible for tax sale.
So municipalities have used this for sewer line, water line installation,
sidewalk curbing.
Like that. It's something that's pretty common. It's really a good solution to the problem. We lost the funding we thought we were going to get for this program. So it was a good idea through Maria and Hal coming up with that. So
in a way, we have that fail safe, the banks don't.
It's totally a.
We're first.
Very common.
Yeah, we need to be first in
line. We're first in line.
Yeah, you go the other route or not.
Not that we want to present that way, obviously.
No.
But we also want to put it under risk.
And plus, the residents could also, if they want to pay the whole thing up front, they can. They don't have to pay it. They pay whole, and they don't have to pay a lot of interest that way. It's up to them.
Sound good?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Jim? You go with that? You go with that?
Absolutely, yeah. I think the solution that Maria and Jim and Al came up with is. It's great. It's really it's a better solution than I think going out and partnering up with an outside entity. I think this is a better solution. To that.
Yeah. Yeah. Safe. Thank you, Maria, Al, and Jim, and Ed. You were involved, right? Yeah, sure. Okay. The next ordinance we will be introducing is 2019-008, and that's the ordinance of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, amending Chapter 72-6 Beaches of the Code of the City of Ventnor. And this is something that was brought up our last meeting as a discussion, correct? Mm-hmm. Some of the language we were taking out, not allowed to play ball and things like that.
We're cleaning up.
We're just cleaning up the language of the current ordinance, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Anything else helpful on that? No? The next introduction will be ordinance 2019-009, and that's an ordinance in the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, amending ordinance 2017-24, establishing 2019 salaries, compensation, and salary ranges of officers and employees in the City of Ventnor, repealing all ordinances or parts of ordinances heretofore adopted, the provisions of which are inconsistent here with, and all that is saying
it's proper Queen's English, right?
And all that is saying that we are doing a title change for a clerk from a clerk to clerk two because of additional schooling and certification that she obtained, and she is an employee in the code office. I think our solicitor will tell me I have to read it all. But I'm not reading.
That's your clerk. That's your clerk.
But I'm not reading that all again. Because it's like
Summer Renzi took the initiative to get her floodplain management certification and her community, what is it called again?
Community rating system
certification. And she's going to be transitioning to start handling that for the city under Dino and Jimmy.
Yep.
Great.
So what the CRS does is it lowers everybody's flood insurance.
Sure it does.
The better numbers we can get on that, it helps everybody across the board to keep our flood insurance as low as possible.
I saw it on my bill. It was exciting because I pay a lot of flood.
You got the wrong bill there.
No, I pay a lot of flood insurance. So that rating can help you.
Yeah, and Summer did a good job with that, you know, going through that class and passing the test. And that's not passing the test, but get the certification.
Great.
That's good.
She's a pretty new employee.
She is, yeah.
And
here's a little over a year, 2 years.
She raised her hand.
Yep.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're done with that. Long. Okay. The next ordinance that we will be introducing is ordinance 2019-010. An ordinance of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, amending Chapter 214, Vehicles and Traffic, Part 1, Traffic and Parking, Article 11, Schedule Section 214-47, Schedule, what is that?
19.
That got tricky on me. Speed limits. And all that is saying is that the speed limit on Atlantic Avenue will be reduced down to 25. It's currently 35. We're doing that
because we are installing bike lanes that, as Vincent mentioned, and it also will be consistent with Longport, Margate, and Atlantic City, so the entire Down Beach, including Atlantic City, will all be the same speed limit on Atlantic Avenue. Because I don't know if anybody out there got stopped, but when you leave Becker, you think you're on 35, you're in Atlantic City, and then you have red lights behind you because it drops down.
Did you just pull
it
over?
I did get pulled over once. Because it gets confusing. It's safer.
It's consistent
and it's safer, especially in the summertime. And also with the pedestrians have the right of way law, it's much safer. People going 25, you can stop easier than going 35. Anything else on that?
Lisa, after it's introduced, we send to Margate and Atlantic City. After it's adopted, we send to the DOT.
Yeah.
All right.
And we've already worked on getting the signs, not up, but ready. We're working on getting the signs.
I did want to bring something up. I asked Marie and then I caught myself, she corrected me, and yes. We would have to go to the county for this, but I was thinking all our streets in Ventnor are 25 miles an hour except Dorset Avenue. That's a county road. Do we have an interest to reach out to the county and make that 25 miles an hour?
It's 30 now.
Is it 30?
It's 30.
It's still more than 25.
It is. I think it slows down to 25 when it gets right close to the bridge, doesn't it? Or is that still safe? It's still 30.
Yeah. Yes? Want to look into that? Leave it? You don't know. Okay. Leave it alone?
For now, let's look at it. I don't have a problem taking a look at it.
Okay.
I don't want to make a decision right now.
I just said, I just throw it out there trying to be
consistent.
I'll take
it over to the police department.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, talk to that. Because that area, Dorset Avenue, is busy.
It is.
And it has, it's got some businesses, but it's mostly residential.
Right.
So, all right?
Yep.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Moving right along, we will have two public hearings and adoption of ordinances. The first one is 2019-005, and that's an ordinance of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, amending Chapter 98 of the Code of the City of Ventnor.
It's just bringing up the fees.
That is the correct
application.
Right.
Consistent with the
law of the state, right?
Yes, universal construction.
Right. Tim, anything on that?
No.
Okay. The next public hearing adoption and adoption of the ordinance will be 2019-006, an ordinance in the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, amending in its entirety Chapter 132, Garbage, Rubbish, and Refuse. And this is on our carts that we discussed at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The carts, the rollout is happening, mid-May? May 13th.
So this is basically requiring all residents to use the recycling and trash carts that the city will be providing to them. They are city property, but they will be registered with every property. You cannot leave bags of trash out. You cannot use another can unless you have filled that can.
Right.
And the other can must have a lid on it.
Connect with it.
Or lid, you said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't hear that.
The carts that the city's going to be giving, they have to be used. If you have additional trash, these cans are large.
96 gallons.
So if you fill it, then you can use another trash can, but if you use another trash can, it too has to have a lid on it.
What do we do with the ones we have?
Well, what I would do, because I actually have two of the big trash cans, and I have one recycling. But what I thought about, because I was thinking too, of course you would wash them out really good with bleach. And I thought it'd be a great storage bin for your summer stuff, for your beach chairs, because they'll fit in there. Anything that you would take to the beach. That to me would be ideal. Or anything else that you could use for storage, something that you don't need to easily get into it. And if you had to, you could lay it down. I'm very organized, and I was thinking ahead of what it could be used for.
I think there's plenty of people who might want them.
In other cities?
If you want to sell it to somebody or give it to a friend in another city, you can do that. Your old ones, not your new ones. Your new ones are registered.
Right,
partner.
Right.
The
new ones have an electronic chip that's chipped to your house, so it'll know where they belong. So you don't need to write your address on it. It'll have a chip built into the cart. And I thought on the FAQ that had said that you could leave your old carts at bulk waste days.
You can. You can bring the old carts to the ACUA for bulk waste.
So you can.
Dispose of them if you want to dispose of them, but.
Plus, trash cans are the hardest thing to get rid of.
Yeah.
The reason
that we, this was something I actually wanted for 3 years. And to me, I think it's going to make a major difference in the look of the city, especially in the summer. We all know that most people use the white trash bags. The seagulls are attracted to it. People don't have lids, or if they have lids, they blow off. These carts, of course, have the connected lids. And we know what it looks like in the summertime if it's a windy day, or the seagulls are out and about early in the morning. And I think it's really important that when people come to Ventnor to visit or come here looking to buy, that on so many days of the week when it's trash day, that the city looks clean and neat, and it'll look uniform. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm excited about getting these carts.
It's trash day somewhere in the city every day.
Right.
And these will also encourage people to recycle more because they're larger, which also brings down our tipping fee. That trend continues.
So they'll start distributing them on May 13th.
Yeah.
And then where do they leave them if people are not around?
They'll put them right out in front of your house, right where you would normally put your trash can.
In front. And what about residents that are not there?
They'll be there until they take them around back.
Okay, so no one will take them. They'll just be there.
They are. If yours is missing, they can find where they put it.
Yeah.
And they can take a scanner, and they will know that it belongs to your house.
True.
They're going to be colored, too. They're not going to be like the normal ones. They're going to be burgundy. The one for trash will be burgundy with the green top.
Burgundy.
Trash is all burgundy?
Right.
That's the color of the city of Ventnor.
Recycling is that?
It's blue with a burgundy top. So they will be very distinctly noticeable if they're sitting somewhere in Margate or Atlantic.
Right. So if the ACUA...
You think my house to match it.
Exactly. If the ACUA sees a burgundy trash can or a burgundy lidded recycling cart in Margate, they're going to pick it up and take it back out.
Put it in front of the right house.
Exactly. Right.
I'm excited about it.
Okay.
Anything else on that? We're good?
Other than they're very easy to roll out. I know people are afraid of them because they look massive, but they're really, you know, whatever your trash is, you're taking it out now, you're carrying it out there now. In this car, it's very, very easy to roll out.
They are.
I've had them, my parents, 84, 93, no problem, long driveways out in the country. They're very easy to roll out.
They are. Okay, so the next thing on our agenda, we have resolutions by consent, and I'll read them quickly. And I think, Ed, you will jump in on a few things. Am I correct?
Yes, you'd like me to.
The first agenda is the resolution 2019-123, and that's a resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, urging Governor Phil Murphy and the New Jersey State Legislature to properly allocate the 9/11 System and Emergency Trust Fund account to the county and the municipality's 9/11 centers as required under federal law. To give you a little bit of background, $1.25 billion is in this fund and only 11% was spent on eligible expenses. The state has used the money to fund their state law and public safety departments, and this money is to go back to the counties and the municipalities. So this is a resolution with us supporting it. Any questions?
No, this does not push for a county-wide 911 system.
No, this
call
is money.
What was it called?
Yes, no, that's
when they were trying to do the dispatch.
No.
So it has nothing to do with that?
No, okay. This is, these are funds that are in a trust, and they were not given to the counties and the municipalities because they should have been.
Just want to make sure it doesn't require us to tie to a county.
No, it's money that's due us that we never got.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. The next is resolution 2019-124, and that's a resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, expressing opposition of A-4221, provision of protection of public rights under the public trust doctrine. And this is something I gave to you, Tim. This is basically something that is at the state level, am I correct? And it would give DEP a little bit too much control of our beaches and water, am I right?
Yeah, about every 10 years, DEP comes in and they try to mandate beach access and things of that nature to the shore communities. You must have beach entrances at so many feet. You must have bathrooms. You must have this. It's the state overreaching, and it's just us saying, no, we can handle our own beaches. You can stay away.
And we provide more access than most communities. We allow parking on the beach blocks.
Right.
You know, yeah. So we have numerous access points.
And this resolution, 124 as well as 123, well, one came from one resource, the other one came from the Mayor Association.
Right.
So it's something that's being done across all the municipalities in the county, just so you know. Okay? Okay, the next is Resolution 2019-125, Resolution City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, authorizing a refund of a tax overpayment. That's self-explanatory. The next is Resolution 2019-126, a resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, provisionally appointing a clerk to that title, which we talked about earlier in the salary range. Provisionally, because it's civil service and they have to go through a time period and then they become permanent. For anybody's information. The next resolution, 2019-127, a resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, for architectural services for the design, construction, documents, and contract administration of a new beach patrol headquarters to William McLeese, architect. And you already covered that in your report. We're good. The next is I'm sorry, are you guys okay with that?
Yes.
Yes?
Absolutely.
The next is Resolution 2019-128, Resolution of City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, Architectural Design Engineering to Cesar Engineering, LLC. Is that the same with the Beach Patrol, Ed?
Yes, Mayor, it is. It actually is meant to be for structural engineering.
Okay.
So the first one to Bill McLeese, the resolution before it is for architectural services. The structural engineer would be the Czar engineer.
Okay, thanks. That's what I was wondering because it was. The next is Resolution 2019-129, Resolution of City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, appointing Brian, is it Guerrera? As a police sergeant. The next is 2019-130, and that's a resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, appointing Brian Price to police sergeant. The next is 2019-131, a resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, appointing Peter Menuza to police sergeant. The next is 2019-132, a resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, appointing William Morelli as police sergeant. The next is 2019-133, a resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, appointing David Geckel as police lieutenant. The next is Resolution 2019-134, a resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, appointing Francisco O'Neill to police lieutenant. That's all our promotions. And
they were due.
Yes, all those promotions are due to retirements and the upward mobility in the police department, correct?
Correct.
The next is 2019-135, resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, authorizing appointment of Kathleen Gunther as a part-time Class 2 Special Law Enforcement Officer for the City of Ventnor and the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey. That's for additional help for the summer, am I correct?
This is a class 2.
Class 2.
Class 2 for the summer.
Yeah. Okay, the next is 2019-136, a resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, authorizing appointment of Alex Fendrick as part-time Class 2 Special Law Enforcement Officer for the City of Ventnor in the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey. The next is a resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, resolution 2019-137, Resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, authorizing appointment of Blake Wallen as part-time Class 2 Special Law Enforcement Officer for the City of Ventnor, in the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey. And the last one by consent would be 2019-138, and that's a resolution of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, authorizing the appointment of Joshua Maroro Suarez as a part-time Class 2 law enforcement officer for the City of Ventnor, in the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey. Okay. We will have the approval of bills and payrolls. Do we have any discussion items?
One.
We have one. And we will go through our discussion items now, and then we will go to a public portion.
Okay.
What do we have?
We have smoking on the beach.
Okay, so I asked for this to go on here because I just wanted us to be sure what we were doing with smoking on the beach and other areas, and for you three to discuss what kind of signage you want. There was a proposal that we take the existing signage that's on the boardwalk now that has all the do's and don'ts, and Ed would redo all those signs that probably are in need of getting redone anyway, and add no smoking still. Then there's other areas in the city, how much signage do you want? We have to be clear on what the law is. Like, are you supposed to be so many feet away from a municipal building, off the steps, or
for
parks, or playgrounds?
Well,
or
you're going beyond the beach, though.
I think the law, that's the law. But the law is the beach.
No.
The law that was just adopted was the beach.
Public area.
You can, it was the beach and inside public buildings, believe it or not. You can do parks and playgrounds if you want. You can do it all at once, or you can do it piecemeal.
So you can currently smoke on parks and playgrounds? Is that what you're saying? Because
if we have adopted an ordinance prohibiting that, yes.
Okay, so there's not a state reg on that.
I think there's a state reg that authorizes the municipality to prevent smoking in public parks and playgrounds.
Okay.
But this law,
this law, I don't think has
interiors, buildings, and beaches.
Right. The law that we're talking about was interior of public buildings and beaches.
Okay. So in our discussions with some of the departments, it was our understanding that there's an existing law that also prohibits smoking on the steps of City Hall, smoking in any public land, playgrounds, parks. But from what I'm hearing from you is the law is you can say you can't smoke here, but you don't have to.
Well, right. You should do an ordinance anyway. Either one of those scenarios.
We're copying
what you want to do, you should do an ordinance.
Well, Ocean City's ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
That is very good. I had a chance to read through that today.
Very
long.
Yeah.
It is long, but you know, there's it covers a lot of ground, and I think you guys should take a look at it and see if it's something you want to do in the next month or so. It handles their beaches, it handles smoke-free parks and recreational areas. It talks about all of those things. I'd make sure to see what our rules say now, or ordinances say now. But this actually lists the parks. They have a stadium, a lot of stadium. But it lists all of their locations. You're not allowed to smoke on the grounds, outside the buildings, anywhere. So it's...
There's an issue with the library.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
some complaints about smokers outside the windows of the libraries or the community center.
Right.
They're too close.
We can look at that at another point. I think we should discuss, I think we've already decided, or at least at one of the last meetings we previously talked about this, was doing on the beaches, not really set inside any areas. Are we still on board with that?
Yes.
I've been approached by a couple people setting, you know, the hot sand as areas. I don't know. I'd rather not be on the beach.
Right, just no smoking on the beach. Does that include our boardwalk as well, Ken?
It's interesting because it specifically carves out parking lots.
But not the
boardwalk. It doesn't say anything about the boardwalk. Traditionally, the boardwalk has been considered a recreation area, so I think if you wanted to make no smoking on the boardwalk, you could.
Well, I think, it's nervous. What if they put it out and stuck in the wood? You know, that makes me nervous.
Marie and I just need direction.
If you don't include the boardwalk, it's almost like encouraging smoking at the boardwalk.
Sure. If you're a smoker on the beach, you're going to walk up the boardwalk.
Right. So in my mind.
So you do beach, boardwalk, park lot.
Right. But you just have to let us know. Beach, boardwalk, recreation areas.
Just do it all.
Well, whatever you want.
Okay.
Just let us know.
Second wave in the ocean.
What's that?
Second wave in the ocean.
Yeah, the ocean.
Not the beach.
Is the ocean the beach, Tim?
Is the ocean the beach? There's the big question.
And they want to have beach tags on at the same time.
Yeah. We've had people that have said that they have the right to get to the ocean without wearing a beach badge. We have to give them the right access to the water. We have that every summer. They deal with it.
There's always going to be the fringe and the exception, I think.
I know, I'm just saying.
Yeah. They're wrong about that, by the way.
Thank you.
They
have to get on the beach to get to the water.
They have the right to go over the beach if it's privately owned. Okay? They don't have the right, if beach tags are required on a public beach, to go on the beach without a beach tag.
Right. So the discussions I've had with police is also, you know, trying to get their head around the enforcement of this. And one of the things that they suggested was that on the back of the lifeguard stands that it say no smoking on New Jersey beaches as an additional sign. So that they're, and so it would discourage, it would at least be putting it out there so that they're, it would help enforcement on their part. So that's where I stand.
We'll have a sign when they come on the beach, right?
Have a sign when they come on the beach, on the back of lifeguard stands.
I like it just when they come on the beach. What we're talking about is one sign that has everything on it.
Right.
I would just leave it at that.
Are you okay with that one sign?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not a fan of putting it on the back of the lifeguard stand.
Well, if we're going to put no smoking on the back of the lifeguard stand, you know, we got to do things to be consistent. Why are we got to put no, everything else? Like, why zoom in on that? You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's where the issue is going to come up. There are going to be people smoking on the beach, and they're going to either call the non-emergency line, or they're going to call 911, or they're going to talk to the lifeguards. So to be, that's where the crowds are going to be.
I guess the no smoking on the boardwalk when you enter the beach is going to be with other messages. Mm-hmm. It may not be read. It may not stick out. That's all.
No, I have a good idea. Why don't we just make up some little thing that the beach checkers can hand people when they come onto the beach? As a reminder.
Then you're
going to have letter. That's right. Beach, yeah. Well, we could put it on plastic bottles, but that wouldn't be a good idea. No.
and the chief ultimately made the decision, but you would think it would only be enforced with repetitive offenders. Yeah. In other words, the first time you go up to them and say, now that I smoke on the beach, put it out, don't do it again. But if there's someone who insists and they keep smoking, then you write them up.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is Ed is to go ahead with making the new signs, including no smoking, correct?
Yes.
Is everybody in agreement on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And do you want us to go forward with an ordinance beach only, or do you want us to hold off until you come back with a master plan of smoking, so to speak, regarding the whole town?
I think it should be anything public
buildings.
Anything public. So it would be the beach, the boardwalk.
Recreation areas, parks.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
All right.
Yeah.
It encompasses the library. We don't necessarily have to roll all the signs up in one big push,
right.
But that would be a goal, because I think the library.
And like Lance said, if you look at the Ocean City one, there's a lot in there. It might give you some ideas. And then we would need signs for those areas. You saw the couple in the office, I think you left those for the type of area.
They're nice, they're given to
something makes me think that.
We'll see how the first year goes, it's going to be a learning curve.
It is.
Something, I'm thinking that the playgrounds have signs about no smoking, but I could be wrong, I haven't been to the playground in a while.
And then we make it consistent, one word older.
Right. The kids are older. Okay, so we'll go with that?
Yes.
Yes?
Okay. You know what, is that in our beach ordinance we just passed? Are we going to vote on no smoking?
No, we've just gotten direction and we will come back with an ordinance.
We'll come back with a separate one, okay.
The state already prohibits it on the beach.
Right. Yeah.
We don't need to pass an ordinance to do that.
Okay.
Right. We're just going to add other stuff.
Right.
Okay. So,
I have a question.
Hold on 1 second, okay? Sure. And then I'm going to open up to the public. Are we good?
Yes.
Yes.
So, Now I'm going to open up the public portion of the meeting that you can come up to the microphone, state your name and address, and you can talk about anything that we've discussed so far. Do I have a motion to open the public portion?
Motion to open the public.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Hi, I'm Linda Catherine, 12 North Issaquahickan. Some of the things have already been answered. I want to thank Mr. Stenson's crew for quickly coming to my house and clearing out the drain between the curb and the street. Very quick. And also, we could use some fluorescent lights in the transportation office. So am I allowed to ask when the meters will be operating?
May 1. Some of them are operating right now, but like the beach areas start May 1. The business areas never started January 1 after the holidays.
Okay, thanks. Are you in favor of enforcing code rules about restaurants having outdoor seating within the parameters that have been specified in the ordinance? In other words, if you look at the seating for some of the places, and I understand that basically this is when they make their money, they're more, they're not 6 feet from the curb. So that people who need to walk by them will walk out on the street, and then there's the possibility of who knows what.
Was it on the agenda, but we can look into that, Linda?
Okay, so the question was, were you in favor of enforcing that?
We understand the question. That's not part of the agenda tonight, so we've asked you to comment on items on the agenda.
Yeah.
There's a section at the
I
end
of
the meeting.
I don't mind you telling me that you'll look into it. So if I have a question about the transportation department, the senior transportation department, that's not something I can discuss.
You can discuss it at when we get to the public portion, when you can just ask anything, okay?
Yep.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else from the public?
Hi, Pat Harrigan, 608 Cambridge Avenue in Venter Heights. Okay. Well, first I wanted to say, Mayor, Commissioners, Board, thank you, thank you, thank you for passing the capital funds to allow us to expand pickleball to have 6 courts. We're very excited. People are, you know, left and right asking me about information about it. They're very excited. We saw the activity, we saw the work that's being done, and everyone is, you know, as he said tonight, it might be done by the end of the month. I'm like, yay, we could play out the rest of the breaks. It's nice. We have a large following, as you know. You saw what we had last year. We'll probably increase that this year with some additional people from Ventnor who got certified during the winter months to be official referees and official trainers to run clinics. So we're anticipating doing that, which would draw more people out of the Ventnor houses that don't know about us yet. So we're hoping to expand that and have more of that going on. And I just wanted to be able to say that although I know that expansion may bring concern from other neighbors, I think we have a couple options if there are concerns from neighbors about noise, about the time that we start, or about anything that goes on in that activity. Like, you know, if we're going to run tournaments, we're going to run them Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're going to be there, you know, morning to night, and we're going to have a lot of activity, a lot of people, a lot of parking. So if there are some concerns, we do have some options that Joe Tosh is willing to present. And I'd also like to add that the space that we're speaking about has been an active recreation area for many years, as you well know. So it's going to be more difficult for neighbors to hear additional activity going on. But you know, we've always had the playground. We've always had
the tennis, we've always had
the volleyball there. So it's an active recreation area for Ventnor. It's begun to become a big draw. And, you know, like I said, we're very excited about it. So I just hope that if there's any concerns at all, it would be brought up in a public forum so that there could be give and take and options and solutions to be talked about.
That'd be wonderful.
Okay.
We're happy. We're excited.
Yeah,
we're
thank you. I never see you after lessons.
Well, I had surgery this past year, but I'll get there.
Okay.
One question for roughly what time do they start, the matches typically start? What time do they open up the courts?
Usually someone's on the court, myself, maybe Tom, other people, like at 7:30, but we're cleaning up the courts, like if there's, if the nets have been sat on, we're trying to engage the tautness of them. Or if it rained, we're brushing it and keeping it clean and dry. But typically games start at 8 o'clock. So we say 8 to 11 is like open all levels. But now we have 6 courts, we can actually say, these 2 are dedicated to beginners, these 2 are intermediate, and these 2 are advanced. So we can do a lot of different things that we haven't yet discussed.